This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa habibina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. My dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, my dear elders, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, our designer, our creator, our sustainer, our protector, and we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved and final messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I'd like to start off also by wishing each and every one of you Eid Mubarak, my brothers and sisters. Today, alhamdulillah, for the first time a year, because we haven't prayed Eid al-Fitr together. We got to offer Salatul Eid together, alhamdulillah. And what I was most happy and excited about was the fact that many of my young friends and their mothers, fathers, alhamdulillah, were able to join us also for the first time. As you know, we have ongoing, or most masajid have ongoing restrictions with regards to age. But for Salatul Eid, alhamdulillah, we decided that we were able to, alhamdulillah, safely offer enough arrangements for almost everyone. I know there were people who likely were not able to register, unfortunately, and we would have loved to have you all, but unfortunately we are constrained by the restrictions, which are there, of course, for good reason during this pandemic. So we miss those who were not able to join us, but was also very happy about those who were able to join us, especially my young friends, after a very long time. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So a warm welcome to everyone, and very, very heartfelt Eid greetings to each and every one of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you always. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to strengthen you and shower His mercy and forgiveness upon you. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Yesterday, of course, was the day of Arafah. The pilgrims, the Hujjaj, gathered in Arafat for the climax of the Hajj in what was the smallest Hajj gathering in decades, if not centuries. Today we gather in likely what was the smallest Eid prayer that we have ever taken part of. I can't remember participating in an Eid prayer with only 100 people. Yet, my brothers and sisters, it's important to remember that this day is just as blessed as it was last year and every year before that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna a'zama al-ayyami 'inda Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala yawm an-nahr thumma yawm al-qabr, that the greatest day in Allah's sight is the day of sacrifice, and next the day of qar or qir, the day of rest, which is the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah. So today is the 10th, the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day when the pilgrims, the Hujjaj, finally get a chance to rest. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the greatest day in Allah's sight is the day of sacrifice, which is today, and the following day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said that innaha ayyamu aqlin wa shurbin wa dhikrillahi azza wa jal, that they are the days, referring to these days, they are the days of eating, drinking, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So regardless, my brothers and sisters, of how small or limited our gatherings may be due to the current circumstances, and of course for good reason, no matter which restrictions are placed upon us, let us, inshallah, celebrate by eating and drinking that which is halal, of course, in moderation, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we worship and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the 10 most blessed days of the year. And these are the first 10 days of the month of Hajj, Dhul-Hijjah, in which, of course, we are in right now. And we honor and we remember and learn lessons from our grandfather in faith, Prophet Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his son Ismail alayhi salam. Now that begs the question, because we do this every single year. Every year we have Eid al-Adha. Every year we talk about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that begs the question, what was about them? What was so special that here we are, you know, thousands of years later, reenacting their actions and remembering them? You know, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, his mother Hajar, they were just three people, just three alone. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked so much that He has commanded us to celebrate and remember them? Right? Because this is remarkable. Like, you have millions of people, you know, every single year, you know, or a couple of million people every year perform the Hajj. Of course, this year is very different, as we discussed already previously. Millions of people offer the sacrifice. And this all has to do with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And especially the incident, the story, of course, which we will talk about. So what was so special about them? What was so special, especially about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him such a special place that even in our prayer, we remember him in our salah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama salli ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidu majid. And same thing with Allahumma barik ala Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim. Right? So we remember Ibrahim alayhi salam even in our prayers, as taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this question is, what was special about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam? And what we find foremost was the willingness of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's symbolic, right? Like, it's linked to the fact that we are offering the sacrifice today as well, is linked to this whole concept of sacrificing for Allah. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had a very special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a very special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so special that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the title, the very special title of Khalil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took him as a Khalil, as an intimate friend, someone that he loves, someone that he admires. So why was this so? Why was this so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi salam that very special title of Khalil that no one else had? Ibrahim Khalilullah, right? It was a very, very special place that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why was this so? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam was ready to sacrifice everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was ready to submit to his will. He was thrown in the fire. He was thrown into a huge fire due to his stand for the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, your belief has to be extremely firm. You know, can you imagine that a person being threatened with this massive fire and saying that, you know, you're going to be thrown into this fire if you don't give up your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was firm. He was firm in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he was his close friend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the master, the controller of all things, ordered the fire to not burn him, right? Because this characteristic, this quality of burning that the fire has, this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into it. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into the fire. The fire itself, by itself, does not burn. It burns by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed it in this way. You can just sit on the green line, inshallah. So wherever there's a green spot, you can just come forward, inshallah. So the fire burns because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it that quality, that ability. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the controller of all things, commanded the fire to become cool. Ya narukuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, be coolness and safety for Ibrahim. And that very same fire, which the entire world, pretty much all of humanity, has used to cook, to burn, to heat, that very same fire became a source of coolness for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. The total opposite. Why? Because it is subject to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like all things. Then he was told to leave his beloved family. You know, can you imagine? Young son, his wife Hajar alone, in not just any place, not just at home. You know, sometimes leave your family at home, feel a bit nervous. You know, maybe the family doesn't feel comfortable, your wife doesn't feel comfortable, kids will miss you. But this was not even at home. This was in Wadin Ghayri Dhi Zara', right? The valley of no vegetation, or valley where there is no vegetation, there's nothing there, all alone upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And everyone understood. Even his wife Hajar understood that, you know, when Ibrahim alayhi salam is walking away and he's leaving, and she's not getting, okay, why is he leaving us here? And then she asked, is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when she understood that it was the command of Allah, then even she accepted it and took Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the protector. And he left them with the faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not command anything that will cause harm. And this is a very important point. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not command anything which will cause harm. So even though, you know, apparently when you look at the situation, it seems like a very dangerous situation. It seems like a situation that actually sort of doesn't really make sense. But because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, that Ibrahim alayhi salam therefore had complete faith and conviction that no harm is going to come out of this. Or whatever is going to come out of this is going to be for the better. Because why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has commanded it. And the most remarkable of tests that Ibrahim alayhi salam passed was when, of course, he was commanded to sacrifice his beloved son, who had been gifted to him after many years in old age by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's one thing to have, you know, many children. Okay, of course, you still love all your children. But, you know, there's a difference between having, you know, many children and having a child that you get after many, many years. Right, especially in old age. So here is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam with, you know, his son who was gifted to him after many, many years in old age. And Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Ismail alayhi salam. He asked him, "Fandur ma dha tara." You can come over here, inshallah, in this room. So you can just go. So Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, "Fandur ma dha tara." You know, what do you think about this? You know, tell me, what is your opinion about this? About this command that I have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Ismail, so notable thing here as well is Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't just, you know, grab Ismail alayhi salam and say, "Okay, come on, let's go. Come with me, let's, you know, I have to sacrifice you. You got to do what I tell you, and, you know, this is Allah's command and that's it." No, he didn't do that. Right? He asked him. He asked for his opinion. He said, "Look, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me. What do you think about this? What should I do about it?" And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he gives the best of answers. "Ya abatif al ma tu'mar." "Oh my dear father, oh my father, do as you have been commanded. If'al ma tu'mar." Do what you have been commanded. Because again, it is in front of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In front of the command of Allah, there's no other choice. It's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? "Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin." You will find me, insha'Allah. The word insha'Allah is in there. Satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. You will find me, insha'Allah, as one who is patient. You will find me from amongst the patient. So, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not always be easy. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam also knew this was not going to be easy even for himself, as the subject of, or the object of the sacrifice. But he says, "Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin." You will find me by the will of Allah, insha'Allah, as the one who is patient. So command, following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will require patience at times. It will be difficult at times. It will be challenging at times. But no harm is going to come out of following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the harm that may come is just perceived harm. It's not real harm, it's perceived harm. Because nobody can lose by following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, you're going to win if you follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the father and the son both understood and they internalized the idea that in front of Allah, his command, his wish, nothing else matters. In front of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of the will of Allah, nothing else matters. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was so firm in his adherence to Allah's command that shaitan tried to reason with him, get him to have second thoughts, but to no avail. When you are determined to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be instances when shaitan will come in different forms and try to place doubts upon your decision, place doubts in your heart, in your mind about your resolve, right? Try to weaken your resolve to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tried very hard, even with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He didn't give up, even with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? Perhaps this was the fear. Who knows what Iblis was thinking? But maybe this was the fear that if he goes ahead and does this, This was set a beautiful example of submission to Allah, which perhaps will be an example for the rest of humanity, for the rest of time. And this is, of course, shaitan. He's afraid of that. He doesn't want that. Okay, so he tried to stop it at the source. He tried to stop Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam before he actually went ahead and did this, right? Or was prepared to do this. But Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, instead, he threw stones at him in rejection of his evil whisperings. And this is why right now, as we speak, people are throwing stones. Most likely, it's a much smaller crowd, of course, this time. So, you know, maybe not during the night anymore. But normally, people will be throwing stones at the same spot in the city of Mina. In the same spot, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam threw the pebbles at Shaitan. The people, the Muslims who are doing the pilgrimage, the Hajj, they will also be doing the same at this time in those same places. Of course, before, the marker used to be a thin post, a thin pillar. But because there's so many people now, it says the wall has been expanded 80 feet long, or 80 feet wide. The Shaitan has gotten bigger. Some people go, they got really angry, there's no stones. I remember I went, I saw some sandals flying over. People are angry, they keep all their anger for Shaitan inside, and they unleash it in Ramya al-Jamal, in Mina, during the Hajj. But that is not the way, of course, to do it, because the way the Prophet ﷺ taught us is that you pick the stones, the pebbles, small pebbles from Muzdalifah when you stay there overnight after Arafat, and then you use those pebbles and you pelt them 7 times each at the 3 spots. Shaitan didn't get bigger, but of course, because there were so many people, they expanded it, they made the wall larger, wider, so that people can safely perform this ritual. Then came the key part. So actually, if you go for Umrah, you go for Hajj, you take a tour, you see these spots, right? You see the place where, you know, the Rami happened, where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam threw the stones. And there's even a marker, between Mina and Muzdalifah, between Mina and Arafat, in that area on the mountain, a small, you know, structure where it is said that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had taken Ismail alayhi salam there to offer the sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best as to how accurate that is, but that is what we hear when we go there. So then there came the key part. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. So the father, with all the love in his heart, with all the love in his heart for his beloved child who came after so many years, and the son who submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put his head down for the sacrifice to be performed. And you just try to visualize that for a moment. Imagine how heart-wrenching that decision must be. You know, you think of a child, if you have been blessed by children, think of a child, any child of yours, and imagine you had to actually sacrifice your child. A test which most of us would fail if it were given to us. Most of us would fail. We would try to rationalize, we would try to come up with some sort of, you know, workaround, some sort of excuse, some, you know, okay, maybe I won't do it and I'll make tawbah afterwards, or I'll offer something else in place of that. But Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, he was ready to do it. Most of us would fail, but he was ready to do it. No questions asked, no complaints, no clarifications, no questions, no complaints even, you know, no, okay, did you mean this? Can I do that instead? None of that. Nothing. Complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salam, after all, was a human being as well. He had feelings, he had emotions, especially love. You know, this beloved child who's so, so dear to him. And it is said by some of the commentators that, you know, his age was approximately maybe 13 years old. You know, so just approximately, right? Could have been a little bit younger. But essentially, you know, at the age where he is starting to, at the age where he's not able to help his father. Or even if a child is very young, the parents are taking care of the child, right? You're changing diapers, you're cleaning up the, you know, the puke and this and that, everything. Okay, you're feeding the baby. You know, so you're taking care of the child, right? So finally now, the child has grown up and at the point, where he's now actually able to benefit his father and actually help out, right, and give company to him. And now is the time when he's being able, when he's being told to sacrifice him. So he's so dear to him, and now he is doing something seemingly irrational and incomprehensible with his own hands, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so, and the son is willingly accepting it, subhanAllah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Ya Ibrahim, Allah says, we called out to him, Oh Ibrahim, Ya Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You have fulfilled the vision. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. Verily, this was obviously a trial, a test. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. This was obviously a trial, a test. This was a test. Allah actually didn't want you to sacrifice your son, but he wanted to see if you were going to be willing to do so or not. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent a ram to be sacrificed instead. Now, this act of utmost submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he is willing to let go of what he loves most dearly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what is loved so dearly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To let go, to be willing to let go of that which he loves so much, that he loves most dearly, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what was loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he actually made it mandatory for us to perform the Hajj, which is made up of rituals that we enact these events. And he gave us the celebration of Eid al-Adha. And today, millions of people across the globe, right across the globe, are offering the sacrifice of an animal and giving away one third or even all of the meat away in charity. And they are following the sunnah of our Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, ما هذه الأضاحي أضاحي, what is this, you know, sacrifice? And he says, sunnah to abikum Ibrahim. This is the tradition, the sunnah of your father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is an act which is very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these very special days, and for which there is no substitute, there is no equivalent. Right? Yes, you can give charity, you can do other things, but there's no equivalent, there's no substitute. Just like there was no substitute for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam in sacrificing his son, there is no substitute or equivalent to doing the udhiyah, doing the qurbani, the actual sacrifice. My brothers and sisters, and these are actions that unite Muslims all around the world in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of their ethnic background. Wherever you go, anywhere you go in the world today and tomorrow, next few days, wherever people are celebrating Eid al-Adha, everywhere people will be offering the sacrifice. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. All around the world, this act will be happening. Because this is something which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something that is legislated for us. And this is how, my brothers and sisters, the actions of two people affect, or three people affect, the actions of hundreds of millions of believers today. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all of this an annual event, not a one-time event, an annual event, clearly means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember, to ponder, to reflect, to think. Because if you think about it, if it was a one-time event, you do it once, okay, like the Hajj, okay, the Hajj will be a one-time event, you do it once, and that's it. You forget about it, you go on with your life. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Eid al-Adha, for those who are not performing Hajj, Eid al-Adha annual, it tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to think about this, to reflect, to ponder every single year, to get this boost, just like we got a boost in Ramadan, to get a boost every single year. It's like a recurring prescription. We need this reminder. We need this reminder about submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need this reminder about sacrifice so that it keeps us going for the rest of the year until the next time it comes around, inshallah. Now today, my brothers and sisters, we live in an age of knowledge, of information, of advancement. Mashallah. We live in an age of knowledge and advancement. Of course, mashallah, we live in a tech park, right? This is where we are here. Mashallah, so much research happening, you know, so much technology. So humanity has likely never advanced so much in such a short span of time, right? If you look at history, in such a short span of time, we've never had this level of advancement of so-called progress. Yet one thing we must always remember, my brothers and sisters, is that no matter how advanced and how knowledgeable we may become, we will never, as individuals and as a humanity as a whole, we will never be able to match the knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Hakim, the most wise, Al-Alim, all-knowing, Al-Khabir, all-aware. And nothing can match that. No level of coming together of humanity, intellect, you know, knowledge, advancement, AI, whatever you think about. Okay? It can never, never come anywhere close to the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we must understand that there will always be beliefs, commands, obligations, prohibitions, practices that we will not be able to fully understand and comprehend. There will always be things we will never be able to fully understand and comprehend. Divine wisdom is complete and perfect. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete and perfect. It is way beyond the reach of the limited human intellect. We can try, of course, to search for answers and meanings based on what our Creator has told us, what His messengers have brought to us, and what our Creator enables us to discover through our our intellect and through our senses, but know that our understanding will never be fully complete. And what the actions of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam remind us, though, is that our understanding or lack thereof, should not dictate our adherence to Allah's guidance. Our understanding or lack thereof should not dictate or should not be the basis for our adherence to Allah's guidance. Because otherwise, if it was about intellect, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had no rational reason to sacrifice his son, other than the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine if Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had said, no, let me use my intellect, this doesn't make sense, you know, why would Allah tell me, maybe it's something, it's supposed to be something else, no, but Allah wouldn't do this to me, no, but, you know, but that's the whole point, you know, that our understanding or lack thereof should not be dictating our adherence to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we give the example of someone who is totally unaware of medical practices. Someone who is totally unaware of medical practices is likely to see open heart surgery as what? As an act of murder, and the surgeons as criminals. Someone who has never seen open heart surgery before, what does it look like? It looks like a criminal act. It's murder. Cutting open a person's chest, you see their heart beating, sometimes even taking out their heart. You're killing a person, right? That's what a person will think. But in reality, the doctors are not criminals. They are, we know that we are trying to help the patient. They're trying to cure the patient, not hurt them. Similarly, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for our benefit and not harm. So the full wisdom behind it may not always be apparent. And in such cases, the acts of Sayyidina Ibrahim Ismail alayhi salam guide us to accept and submit with faith, with trust, and with hope. And know, my brothers and sisters, that Allah's guidance is filled with benefit and wisdom. So try to take out some time to learn and explore with sincerity and humility, and from the people of knowledge and piety, what your Lord and your Creator wants from you. We are not here aimlessly in this world. We have a solid purpose in life. We are not lost people who don't know what we're supposed to be doing here. We have a very, very clear purpose and a clear path illuminated for us straight from here to Jannah. All we need to do is follow it, inshallah. There is much to learn. And the more you learn, the more you should realize how little you know and how vast the ocean of divine knowledge is. Most importantly, it should make us a better companion to those who are around us and a better servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in beneficial knowledge and to perfect and strengthen our iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us true believers and submitters. We ask Him to beautify our actions so that He is pleased with us and those around us find peace with our presence. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, grant you peace, ease, health, and love, and iman in this world and the next. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah, please grant your forgiveness, shower your forgiveness and mercy upon all of us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please bless this Ummah. Oh Allah, please forgive this Ummah on this blessed day, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please cure all of our brothers and sisters who are ill, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, those who are in pain, oh Allah, those who are in stress and anxiety, oh Allah, those who are suffering and who are ill on this blessed day, oh Allah, through your mercy, oh Allah, please grant them a full recovery, oh Allah, please grant them health and ease, oh Allah, please grant them peace in their hearts, oh Allah, please remove all hardships and difficulties from them, Ya Rabbal Alameen, oh Allah, those who are suffering in hospital right now, oh Allah, with cancer, other illnesses, oh Allah, COVID-19, oh Allah, so many other illnesses that exist, oh Allah, you are the creator, oh Allah, you are the cure. Oh Allah, please grant them cure, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant forgiveness to all of our brothers and sisters who have passed away, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma aghfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma ihdina fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt wa qina bi rahmatika wasrif 'anna sharra ma qadayt. Innaka taqdi wa la yuqda 'alayk. Innahu la yadhillu man walayt ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك اللهم أنت الغني ونحن الفقراء إليك وأنت القوي ونحن الضعفاء إليك اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك وأعوذ بك من شر ما عاذ به عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى نفسنا طرفة عين اللهم اجعل لنا من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ومن كل بلاء عافية واستر عوراتنا واصلح نياتنا وذرياتنا وأحسن خواتمنا واحفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ومن تحتنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم لك أسلمنا وبك آمنا وعليك توكلنا وإليك نبنا وبك خاصمنا وإليك حاكمنا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم تقبل صيامنا وصالح أعمالنا اللهم تقبل منا صالح الأعمال يا حي يا قيوم رحمتك نستغيث اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك خير المسألة وخير الدعاء وخير النجاح وخير العمل وخير الثواب وخير الحياة وخير الممات اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم أسبغ علينا لباس الصحة والعافية واجعلها عونا لنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا حلالا واسعا ولسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا ويقينا صادقا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين ووحد صفوفهم واصلح قادتهم واجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان خصوصا في بورما وفي فلسطين وفي الصين وفي كشمير وفي الهند وفي سريلانكا وفي سوريا وفي العراق وفي اليمن وفي سومال وفي أفغانستان وفي ليبيا وفي مصر وفي كل مكان اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Brothers and sisters at home, please go ahead and offer 4 rak'ah of the Dhuhr prayer. Those who have registered for Friday prayer, please join us at your allotted time.